we are living in our own bubble. And when we are depressed, when we feel that the world is not contributing to anything anymore, we feel that we are not good enough. It was also based on, my father telling me when I was younger from that I was good for nothing, that I was never going to make it, even though I had done many things that most people can only dream of. But at that moment, when you're in that state, you feel that all of that, what you've done, has no value anymore. And my business was failing. So there I proven to my father from he's right. You know, it taken me about 29 years to find out, but he was right. He knew me all along. And I believe that at that moment because, you know, my situation was. But when you then start to relook at life, when you start to be asked questions to revisit some of these experiences, then you suddenly started to see the world in a different way.
Hello and welcome to episode number 33 of the Life Well Lived podcast. My guest on this episode is Tom Myers. Tom is an osteopath and body-centered stress coach based in Brussels, Belgium, and also a forward thinker and facilitator of change with the aim of helping to empower people to live well in body, mind, and spirit and lead with resilience in an exponentially changing world. He has become a thought leader on the topic of the future and how we might proactively build the future version of ourselves. On that topic of looking forward, he speaks regularly at events and is the author of the book Futurize Yourself and is currently busy organizing TEDx Vilvoorde Online, which due to the pandemic will take place in a virtual setting on October 10th next. In this episode, we chatted about Tom's journey from chef and failing directionless businessman through two decades of self-development to his new career as an osteopath and body-centered stress coach. We talked about how finding purpose, a sense of life and contributing to the world, and the innate feeling that comes with doing something that is meaningful. Tom chatted about why he resists most tools and products, instead discovering the ability to work from anywhere without requiring anything apart from his mind and his knowledge and his skills. We chatted about how finding out who you are and working within your field of potential is so essential in 2020 and beyond. And we chatted about the future, about the changing world and how we might prepare ourselves for the uncertainty that comes with exponential change in work, technology and society at large. So I do hope you enjoy this episode. Without further ado from me, on to this week's show and my conversation with Tom Myers. Tom, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Shane. It's wonderful to be here.
I am looking forward to this conversation. We have connected over the past few weeks and there are probably 42 things that we could talk about, but I want to see where we can go over the next 45 minutes or so. Could I invite you, first of all, to give an overview of what has brought you to this point in time?
Okay, let's start then with this point in time. I'm an osteopath, body-centered stress coach, author, organizer of an upcoming TEDx, and so many other things, which I recently found out that there is a word for people like me, which is called multipotentialite. So we don't satisfy ourselves. We're just doing one thing. We are triggered by many things and we don't have to choose. We just know how to, or we focus on integrating all of those wonderful talents that we have into one objective. But that's today. But 20 years ago, I started a great opportunity. What I thought anyway was a great opportunity was a deli, a gourmet deli. And that was really the moment that changed my life. Because that gourmet deli was a great idea given to me by a friend who had a gourmet deli as well, who had been creating that over eight years, while I, those 8 years, been traveling around the world, working, And I'm backpacking, working again, backpacking. I was a late bloomer, so I probably needed that I could not settle straight away. I needed to learn and to experience the world. I needed to grow these brain cells a little bit more tighter. And although I didn't know that at the time, luckily my life has given me that opportunity at that time between 20 and 28, 29. But then again, you know, that moment, that pivotal moment was when I returned, started a gourmet deli, and 2 months later, I was depressed, suicidal. It was like, here is this big present from the universe. Tom, please start this gourmet deli. I will help you. This is what you can do. It will give you success. Because my friend had the success. He had a beautiful house, beautiful BMW car, motorbike, beautiful wife, kids, success in the society. And I thought, yeah, great. You know, I can have all of that after my wandering years. And it was not the case for me. But what it did show me was that even though that things come from the universe and given you on a plate, it's not always the right thing for you. And how do you find out that it's not right for you? Well, that is by finding out first who you are. And it's probably the biggest lesson I had in that experience is that I was sent to a coach by the pharmacist, the local pharmacist. And this coach, she helped me to do three things. One is to revisit the past and shedding a new light on that. It's very important because we are living in our own bubble. And when we are depressed, when we feel that the world is not contributing to anything anymore, we feel that we are not good enough. It was also based on, my father telling me when I was younger from that I was good for nothing, that I was never going to make it. Even though I had done many things that most people can only dream of, but at that moment, when you're in that state, you feel that all of that, what you've done, has no value anymore. And my business was failing. So there I proven to my father from he's right. You know, it's taken me about 29 years to find out, but he was right. He knew me all along. And I believed that at that moment because, you know, my situation was. But when you then start to relook at life, when you start to be asked questions to revisit some of these experiences, then you suddenly started to see the world in a different way. Today, we can call that the overview perspective. You know, we so much need this overview perspective. We're living in this small bubble in our small lives. And the more we get stressed, for example, the more that life becomes smaller and to be more protective about me, me, me. And then you don't seem to be able to get out of that bubble and to look from above and say, hang on a minute, let's take a bit of a distance. And that's what she did with me first. And the second part was she gave me questions, three questions that I would say saved my life, where she told me to observe the people around me and why I admired them and still why people were coming to me for certain things to help them with. And all the things I had done in my past where I thought, if I could do this for the rest of my life, I would be happy. You know, there are these moments when you really think about it, when you go back and say, oh, this was a moment of flow. This was a moment where I thought, wow, this is just wonderful. And when you started then to bring these questions together, or at least the answers to the questions, and you started to look at it from above, I suddenly started to see that within me, there was a potential in which I was born that I hadn't really explored. And that was being a therapist, being a communicator, being a teacher, being a researcher. And one, the traveling part was I needed movement. I had been traveling around the world. I had freedom. And when I had my shop, I was stuck within four walls behind the counter and living upstairs in the attic. And you can't move from there because you need to serve clients. And I didn't have money to put somebody else in there. So from this globe-trotting individual to a imprisoned person, which was not my place, it's not who I am, Of course I was going to get sick. And this is such a big lesson for the rest of my life. And what I'm saying to people now as well is make sure you're working within your field of potential. When you're going to look for a new job because your job is at risk of being automated or robotized, make sure you don't just take anything. Make sure you discover first who you are and then start planning, okay, this is my potential. This is what I still need to learn, maybe like I had to learn to be a therapist. I was trained as a chef, yes? Chef, therapy, okay, food is therapy, yes, we all know that, so I'm not far. But to be really, as an osteopath, which is a manual therapist, that was far from what I ever thought was possible for me. But there you go. That was inside of me. And once I set it out as a goal, so 20 years ago, I imagined my today. And that is, I'm a therapist with my own approach who has developed his own approach and who is asked around the world to give presentations and workshops. Yeah, so I'm an osteopath, body center stress coach, author. So all of that, what I am and what I said in the beginning, is I designed that 20 years ago and worked my way towards it. It's, you know, it hasn't taken me 20 years. It's taken me nearly 15. And it's an ongoing story. It's never finished. But it's given me purpose. It's given me a sense of life, a sense of contributing to the world to make it a better place, to leaving a positive footprint, not only for the world, but also for my soul, I would say. And, you know, it's like this innate feeling that I have now that I'm doing something that is meaningful, which I didn't have 20 years ago.
Yeah.
No, there was no meaning. There was no sense. There was no direction. I was just turning around in circles and escaping all my problems. Because every time I traveled away, most of the time when I traveled was to escape a problem that I didn't want to face. When the going got tough, the tough get going, away.
Let's touch on that for a second. In the five things that you identified that are the cornerstones or the foundations for you and who you are, the fifth of those that you said was traveler. So do you have a different relationship with travel now than you did then?
I do, because travel is an archetypal word. Yeah, travel could be going on holiday, but travel for me was more the archetype of movement. I need a center from which I can explore the world outside and inside. And because traveling can also happen inside of you. Traveling who you are or discovering who you are, what your talents are, discovering new elements of yourself, that's also traveling. As an osteopath, I have a practice, which is in Brussels. That's my center point. But I get asked to go away from here. I was asked once to go to Jordan to treat somebody. I can do that. So when you have products, it's much more difficult. So I also created around that theme of freedom and travel with my experience from my shop where I was fixed to one address, where I had products that were perishable. I said, from never again will I work with a product. Never again will I be attached to something that I have not with me on a nudist beach. And that, this is no kidding, this is 20 years ago, I said, from I want to work on a nudist beach. That was a metaphor to say, from if you take Tom with you and with no luggage, with no computer, with nothing at all, he is who he is and he can do what he does. That's freedom. So when somebody comes to me saying, Tom, I have this great product or this great tool. No, don't want it. I can teach you to, with your hands or with your communication, to improve your communication skills or to improve the way you do your manual therapy. Yes, please. Thank you very much. I will do that because that I have with me no matter where I go. But don't come with a tool or a needle or a product, I say no. And that is freedom and also a focus. This is my choice. This is what I want to do. So in the plethora of choices that we have today and opportunities that we have today, and great tools do exist, I have decided to say no.
You said that it is freedom. And I recognize that feels like a laying bare that very many people would struggle to do, because we need our crutches and we need our things to lean on, whatever that is. You've already mentioned that it wasn't an overnight thing to get here. To find that place of freedom where you can work on a nudist speech, in that analogy, where everything you have with you is inside you. What were some of the challenges, or did you experience challenges in finding that place within yourself?
There is a lot of challenge from the outside world. What is he doing again? Why is he doing that? For people outside of me, it didn't make much sense, but for me, it did. So one of the challenges is that you need to be able to explain yourself quite well. And once, the more you become experienced, the further you walk on this path of the choices you made, the more that you have experience the same from, okay, I made this choice and this is what happened and it worked for me. I also experienced sometimes that I was stuck again. Because it's difficult to believe sometimes that for me, from being trained as a chef to be a therapist, that was for me a step unimaginable. But what choice did I have? It was dying or choosing to live and seeing from, okay, let's explore it. If it becomes something, I have only but won something. But when the going went a bit more tough and when I felt that there is something blocking me, then because I had set a goal, a very flexible goal, but I had this phrase to be a therapist and so forth, I said, okay, am I still going there? Or have I deviated for some reason again from my path? Am I realizing other people's dreams again? Because they looked like they were going into my direction, but suddenly they took me away. And most of the time it was that. I had chosen a path that I thought would lead me to my purpose, but actually deviated me from it. And if it wasn't, when I saw that I'm still going and I'm still on this path towards my purpose, then I knew it was for my growing. I'm an osteopath, so body-centered stress coach, so I'm looking things from the body. For the body to be strong, you need resistance. You need to walk. You need to train yourself. You need to go do some exercises, but you don't do exercises always into your comfort zone because that doesn't contribute to anything. You need to go just that little bit further. You need to have a little bit more resistance to strengthen your muscles. Yeah, if I sit here all day or every day for the next 7 days, I'll die. No, I need to move. So movement is important. Secondly, I just don't need only to move, but I also need to get some resistance to strengthen myself. For this COVID period as well, I have to do things to strengthen my immunity. So walking the life on purpose, evolving on purpose, or anything we do on personal development, it's not easy. You need sometimes resistance to grow to get to that next level. And this is very important, that we can make the distinction between, am I deviating from my path or is it for my growing? The only way you can know that is by having a future designed. And it's not a destination as a final point, but it's an objective. Archetypal, because it can change. Communication, Well, today we're communicating in a podcast. And communication is important to me. Talking is important to me. Sharing my knowledge or sharing my insights is important to me. But maybe in a couple of years' time, it will be in a virtual reality room. Maybe I have an avatar kind of role that, you know, a second me that I instruct to communicate. Or maybe everything, the Wi-Fi goes down. There is no electricity. Okay, I can go outside and talk to my neighbors. Or I can create a school or create something in which I can do exactly that, communicating and teaching. But do I need electricity for that? No, I'll just wait till the sun gets up. And I don't need digital. No, I can do that just analog. I'm ready for that. It doesn't bother me as long as I have it in my life, because I know if I have it in my life, I feel there is a sense to life. There is purpose to life. It makes me grow. It makes me happy. It makes me feel that I'm a whole person.
I want to hear more about the practicalities of your day-to-day work as a osteopathy-centered stress coach, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to hear more about that. And I want to hear more about the future and the Futurize You and the futurism theme of the TEDx coming up. Before I do, could I invite you, if you're okay to do this, to rewind to that time that there was the breakdown / breakthrough of that couple of months in 20 years ago when you felt that the end was coming or you couldn't see a way to move on? What was that experience like in the day to day? And the reason I ask, it's not to kind of revisit any pain for you, but I feel that right now in this moment that we are sharing in the world, so many people, tens, hundreds of thousands, millions of people are going to go through something similar now. If they haven't gone through it already this year, it may well be around the corner for them. What would you say to those people who are maybe experiencing that, or have that fear that that experience is in their immediate future?
Yes, mental health problems, if we can classify it under that, are today very serious. And because of the increase in anxiety, insecurity, and so forth, and the stress that has been lingering for months on end. The first thing I would like to advise people is seek help. Doing things yourself is great, but sometimes it's outside support that will just be that little spark in our lives that gives us motivation, that gives us also somewhere an anchor to lean on. We are not here alone. We are here together. If that is too much, if financially there is a struggle, I believe there are many organizations that can offer solutions. There are even chatbots today, mental health chatbots, that can help you in many ways to take the first steps. These are amazing tools that didn't exist 20 years ago. But the first thing is talk about it. Talk about it with your trusted people like I did. My first trusted people in my life, I would say, was that pharmacist, Anna Marie. She was 20 years older than me. She was married. She had two children. And I trusted her completely. And we had this kind of bond. For some reason, some people you just connect with. And through me explaining my situation for the first time, my parents didn't know this, by the way. My parents only read about my state of being in 2018 when they read the draft of my book. So 18 years later, they never knew. I never talked to them. I never talked to anybody. So the first thing to do is get a talk about it. It's the most important step. Then the second step is then, of course, then to wanting. Somewhere you need to feel from, okay, if this is a situation I'm in, accept it. This is where you are. Don't blame yourself. Don't, you know, whip yourself or, you know, what have I done? No, this is where you are. It's where you are. What I've learned is that my past is giving me awful presents. But everything can be transformed into something that you can use. And at that moment of stress, you can't see it, but it will come. So accept where you are. And then also start to, okay, find who you are inside first. What have you done that created a good feeling in you? What have you done that you say from, okay, this gives me, you know, energy. Do it. Yeah. Start bringing these things into your life in small paces. Yeah. A minute there, 2 minutes there, or maybe 5-10 minutes. Yeah. If it's that painting, is that walking outside? You're an individual. You're unique. Find your uniqueness. Find your unique triggers for happiness, for that kind of change in feeling. And I'm saying feeling. Feeling means from the inside. It's innate. It's different than an emotion. Emotion comes from the outside. Okay? So an emotion is experienced through our senses that triggers a feeling. But the feeling that I'm talking about is, it's the gut feeling, okay? There's a slight difference between these two. And feeling, again, is in that moment very difficult. We don't feel very well. Okay, now imagine how it feels to be well. When I envisioned my future, what I did is from creating this ideal day, I wake up in the morning and I feel great. I feel alive. I want to wake up. I feel purposeful. What would that be? What would that feel like? Such a day where I feel completely energized. And I thought from, well, if I'm a therapist within me, so I can imagine that if I am a therapist, I will feel this kind of elation. I feel like I want to wake up in the morning. When I feel like I'm communicating and teaching other people and doing some research during the day and sharing that, and then also being asked to travel around the world, wow, what would that bring me? So I imagine the feeling that was based on my potential, because of course, somebody who is not a speaker, and to say, okay, imagine yourself to be on a stage and talking to hundreds of people might not give them the best feeling. Yeah, but if that's part of your makeup, then that's not a problem. Even if that scares you and that it's not easy, no problem. So feeling based on your potential, on what you have in you, and then that's your unique way of creating that feeling, bring it more into your life. And that is what I did in retrospect. At that moment, I didn't really know. So if we can share that, is talk about it. 2, accept where you are. And 3, start doing the things, you know, start to imagine a feeling that you want to create, find the triggers that create that feeling, and start doing them.
And that last one is so powerful. And we have so much, something that I've experienced, and I think a lot of people do, is we have so much guilt around doing things that give us joy.
Yeah. Yes. And that's a really strange one. It's a really strange one. It's probably also cultural. There are certain cultures that are based on that guilt. One, you know, to be too happy. Oh no, that's dangerous. You know, that is that is not great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But health is based on what? Our health and well-being depends on it, no? Feeling good from the inside.
Sure does.
So that's an objective. And yes, it might be that you have to be very selfish in the beginning. And I didn't have any kids and I didn't have a family. I didn't have a girlfriend at the time. So that is quite easy to transform your life. So, but I can understand that when people have responsibilities, when people have children, that being very selfish is maybe not that possible. But at the end of the day, there is a balance to be made that it's in interest of your family that you're well. If you're a parent, your well-being, your decisions, your choices have an impact on the people around you. So your feeling, how you feel, also has an impact on your environment. So don't you think that's a priority then, that you feel well so you can help your family? And in the long future, because people say from, yes, the future, I don't really want to think about it. I have problems today. Sure, But then the future comes and you haven't prepared yourself for what is coming, then what's the point of everything you've done for today? If on that moment it's crisis. A taxi driver today that is not studying for another job or that is not thinking about what am I going to do when all taxis are automated? Well, I think that's a, you know, that's a question those taxi drivers and so many other professions should ask themselves, because they say, but I have no time. Yeah, but when it happens, what are you going to do then? And it's going to happen. Then you're in the same situation as you are now. But just in a way, you're much further behind. Today, you can actually already prepare and with small steps increase your potential for when that moment comes that you just can swap, boom, to something else. And everybody is served by that. You are served by that. Your family is served by that. Society is served by that. And we evolve on purpose. Replaced by a robot.org or something like that, or by robot. Replaced by robot.org. You can find out if your job is going to be automated or not in the next 5 to 10 years. Yeah.
On that point, and we're stepping into the futurism, and that's good. I'm happy to go there right now. I've seen some even fascinating developments in the last 3 months. We're recording this towards the end of August 2020. Even in the production of this podcast, I found a service. A year ago, when I was producing the podcast, I had two options if I wanted to get the podcast transcribed. I could give it to a transcriptionist or a transcriber, a human, or I could use an online service, which was like a marketplace for humans to transcribe. Now, as of this month, I have found a tool that does an incredible job, and it's AI, artificial intelligence transcription. And it transcribed my most recent podcast as of today, which was with a Colombian French academic who spoke English with a really strong accent. And it still transcribed it better and quicker instantly in a way that was just staggering to me. You've outlined very articulately a second ago why it's important to think about the future. How can we think about the future?
That is what is called futurization. Futures thinking, so incorporating futures thinking into present decisions. We tend to focus on today and tomorrow. Biologically, that's a very normal evolution that comes from survival. But most of us don't live in a place where survival today, tomorrow is a problem. So we have to start putting our focus on the long term. And futures thinking is thinking about the scenarios that can happen. Scenarios. It's futures thinking. It's not one future. So it's about thinking, yes, we need to read. Yes, we need to update ourselves. But when you're in a job today, you should have a vision of where is that job going in the next couple of years. Every company has a project called, 3, 5, 10 years of now. They are already foreseeing what might change, what are the scenarios and how they will adapt. A good company, long, big companies have this vision where they are going. And then they create scenarios. And we can do the same thing for ourselves. If you don't know what your purpose is, or you don't know what your potential is, find those first. Find and then see what you can create in the future with them, or how future can look like when things are more automated. And what are the new opportunities? Space tourism is the new opportunity. Everything that's to do with space, if you could get a job in there, that's the future. Yeah. We will be interplanetary species. If you believe it or not, we are already, because there are a few people permanently not living on Earth at the moment. But the biggest developments now is in there. And there are so many other opportunities. I say opportunities because there is not going to be less jobs. It's just going to change. And we need to be a little bit more digital savvy, I suppose. But the programs are going to be easier as well. So learning those new things is not going to be such a problem. If people from 80 years old get an iPad today or another type of pad, they can start working with it. And in a couple of weeks' time, they are doing more than you do because they have the time to learn it because, you know, they don't do anything else. So this is not going to change. But you have to find something that you're passionate about. What have you always been passionate about that you want to explore and that you would say from, okay, this is a passion. Maybe I can start learning something more about it, get more, you know, inform yourself. Maybe start learning a course. Lifelong learning is the future. Critical thinking is the future. Philosophy is the future. Future of education is like get knowledgeable about philosophy because it will learn you how to think. And learning how to think is very important in that future. And there are these skills, you know, that the softer skills, more social skills, all of that is going to be important. Yeah. So how do you do that? Is that for me, I do it based on my potential. Yeah. And because I've been doing this for the last 20 years, those five keywords they're still there and they don't change. And I've tried to change them, but they are still as important to me today as they ever were, even more important. But I've added at least one. It's leadership. It could be thought leadership, could be leadership from people, because people are giving me a leadership role. They want to lead me to lead them. And I thought I was not a leader. I thought that I had a limiting belief saying from, I'm not a leader. I can't do that. I have some bad experiences in my past. And suddenly I was thinking, okay, they're giving me this role. So what are people giving you as a role? Why are they coming to you today? What are they asking you? And then you have to start realizing that this is a skill. Somewhere there is a skill hidden into that quest, in that question you get. Now extrapolate that and start to futurize that. This is how I see the world. I get this, you know, I have these interactions with people and they say, wow, that's so great. And I think, oh, he said that, she said that. That's interesting. They don't know each other and they're saying the same thing about me. So then I'm discovering things about me through the interactions that I have. And then I'm extrapolating that and I'm saying, oof, the future. So limiting belief, leadership. Okay, I'm going to, and let's talk about this TEDx, because
please,
why did I organize a TEDx about what the future? One, my topic is futurization. Two, I know people that can talk about that, but people were giving me a leadership role, and I thought I'm not good enough for that. But if they're giving it to me, I'm going to test it. I'm going to create a event with speakers that I have to lead, that I can test myself. If that limiting belief has a reason to live or not. Because you can't study that. So I have created, now it will be 1 year when it started, a year ago when I said, let's create an event that has become a TEDx event. That TEDx event was canceled in March, but was then postponed to October. Now we're seeing, it's not going to be a live event because we don't know what's going to happen. So it's an online event. So I've done everything. I futurized my a potential leadership. I had to adapt. I thought it was going to be a live event, and it's not a live event. It's an online event. So, but at the end of the day, the underlying goal was, I'm going to lead leadership. Can I do it? Yes. And the purpose was to spread information about how to prepare today for tomorrow. It doesn't matter if it's a live event or an online event, as long as the message was spread. So I've been able to adapt and navigate the changes who were presented to me. And have I stressed about it? Yes, sure, I've stressed about it. But I needed to manage and navigate the changes that were presented from the outside. As you said in one of your podcasts, that you wanted to see also about what influences us from the outside, not only from the inside. And this was an outside influence that I could not control, that I, didn't see coming, even though that we in a way should, but I didn't think it was going to be now. It was going to be some time in the future. But I was able to adapt just by applying what I've been doing for the last 20 years.
Can I take this opportunity, and I will include in the show notes, links to the TEDx event, And I wish you the very best of luck with it. Can I take this opportunity to commend you on your journey from somebody who could not see the future or did not want to imagine a future 20 years ago to somebody who is now evangelizing and spreading the word and showing leadership in the imagination of what a future and what futures can be. So congratulations on that growth and journey. It's inspiring to see. Before we wrap up, Tom, I'd love to hear about your present work, and especially around, you've mentioned about body-centered stress coach, and I heard you speaking about body-centered thinking. What is that? And how can we, what is body-centered thinking?
Best way is to give it with an example. Stress is when demands become higher than your resources, and when the balance between the demands on you and your resources is imbalanced. You get tension, you get neck, shoulder muscle tension, your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up. It changes your vascularization in your body and in your brain. So body-centered is from, okay, so we have stress from our environment or from our thoughts, because it's not only from the outside, it's also from the inside, that changes my physiology, that changes my body and the way it functions. It also then changes your behavior, and it changes your communication, your relationships, your work performance. And where does it start? Body-centered, yeah? Changes in neurohormonal system changes your behavior, changes your environment, changes so many things. So yes, we need to work on the outside, but my specialty is working from the inside.
How do you do that? You developed an approach.
So the first part is every person that comes in, okay, we have, what are they coming for? Problem. And most of the time it's neck, shoulder problems related to stress. Okay, the first thing we need to do is calm the system. And that, the speciality is that I do that on the head. People lie down on the massage table, and the first thing I will do is get in touch with the head. Because, for example, if you're in a conversation with a person and you forget a name, what are you going to do? Oh yeah, what was that name again? And you touch here. When you've done something you shouldn't have done, or you say from, ooh, and then you, I shouldn't have done that. When you have tension, stress, you do here. So for me, these are essential points that I'm going to touch in such a soft way that I can feel to the tensions unwind. If this part is really tense, that it has an influence on the bone, and the bone, which is the sphenoid goes from left to right in the middle, and in the middle of that bone there is the pituitary gland. So if all of this is stressed and tense, then of course it has an influence ding 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 down. So I'm going to unwind. So the engagement is from, I put my hands, I follow wherever it takes me. And within that tension of the muscle, so we're going to tense it a little bit more until you have a point where everything releases. So you have engagement, still point, disengagement, opening. And if we do that on the front, on the sphenoids, on the back, on the neck, the shoulders, and we start unwinding the body, then it changes the neurohormonal system. And in my research from my bachelor and my master thesis, I've been able to pointed out that we have an influence on the autonomic nervous system, on stress levels and on musculoskeletal pain and so forth. So the first thing is to do that on the head, because that prepares the body that I'm going to visit afterwards. So it's then you're going to unwind the fascia, the muscles, the articulations, the organs. You're going to go, each part of the body gets the sensation of, okay, what is happening here? Is this a normal dynamic? Is this not a normal dynamic? Try to improve the dynamics, try the movements within each part that I touch so that it becomes open. And then when needed, we have that spinal manipulations where you say from you get a, you also have a little bit of alignment of the spine. At the end of the day, the people feel like, whew, yeah? It's like it becomes clearer in their mind. They feel more aligned. They feel more grounded. And they suddenly feel like they're more themselves again. It's like they can focus again. Because if the stress response is active, also the blood, the vascularization of your brain changes. It becomes more centralized because survival is about, you know, there are central autonomic systems functioning, and they need oxygen, they need glucose. Over time, it actually can change the structure of your brain. Stress changes the structure of your brain when it's chronic and over long periods of time. That has consequences, right? So I can't, when it's that far, you can't really change immediately things. But if people are just in a stress response for a couple of weeks or something, or months, then you can easily unwind that system so that that blood circulation is again to all parts of the brain, especially where you think. Is that cortex. Yeah. And that is what I do in my work, is to help people feel back well into their body, so also that they feel more clear when they have decisions to make. Or in change processes, for example, when a colleague is in burnout and you get so much more work, and so that means you have even less time to resource, and that we can create this kind of moments of release and resourcing that is accelerated, so that they can, during that period of change, stay focused, stay aligned, and stay well to cover that period. Because if those people then fall into stress response, it serves nobody. Yeah? And it's not only at work, but it's the family that will suffer from that because a colleague is in burnout.
Completely.
And in executives today that are going through transformation processes in their company. So there is one system running, they need to create a new system. How much stress is that on these people that have so much responsibility? Please take care of your body before. Yeah? So mind your body before your body reminds you, because you have a task, responsibility, and that influences so many people. Families, make sure that you work on that stress level, because if that stress level becomes high and you get tense, and it changes your outlook. It changes also your future's thinking.
Completely. Yeah. Tom, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. That the work that you do around, and what you've just spoken around about the connection, the influence of the full body, it does speak to something that I think that is so important. And I think it's lost in a lot of the discussion around mental health, is the discussion mental health seems to forget about or ignore the impact of the full body experience, how we treat our bodies and the influence between our bodies and our minds and the connection and the non-separation of body and mind. But it was a pleasure speaking to you, and I wish you the utmost success in your work and also with TEDx. And I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you very much, Shane, for this opportunity. And if anybody, you know, has something that they want to share.
Please tell where people can find out more about Tom Myers.
Yeah, myerstom.com is probably the easiest way to find me. You know, all the links are there. Excellent. myerstom.com.
And I will put that in the notes as well. Tom, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Shane. Bye.
Shane here again, really briefly before I sign off. I know that 30-minute, 45-minute, 60-minute podcast, which is what most episodes of the Life Well Lived podcast are, is a big investment of your time, and your time is your most valuable asset. So it's a huge privilege for me to have you here with me and my guests for this. So thank you so much for listening. This project, the Life Well Lived project, including this podcast and my writing on my website, is motivated by this. There is so much unhappiness, anxiety and depression in the world, and this work is about trying to make things better, tiny bit by tiny bit, one day at a time. The vision is a world where this cycle of unhappiness, anxiety and depression does not have to be handed down across multiple generations and accepted as an unavoidable fact of life. The vision is a world where everyone is liberated to know, embrace and express the full breadth of their own individual uniqueness. And the vision is a world where we can work together to solve big problems rather than squabble over minor matters out of a place of insecurity and hurt. So with all that said, let me invite you to do one of the following three things. And if you want to go ahead and do all three, please do, and be a superstar listener. I'll be really grateful. Firstly, if there was something, anything that you found particularly useful in the episode you've just listened to, please let people know. Send an email, tell someone at the bus stop, take a screenshot of this episode and post it to your favorite social media. It all helps to spread the word about this episode and the Life Well Lived podcast in general. Secondly, post a review. Please go to Apple Podcasts and find this show and leave a review. And when you do, please tag me. I'm at Shane Breslin almost everywhere on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. And thirdly and finally, if you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please sign up for updates about the Life Well Lived project. Go to my website at shanebreslin.com/mission. That's shanebreslin.com/mission.